Okay, I think we'll proceed here. I should have asked, Mr. Chair, do you have any opening comments or anything before we start?
No, other than thank you, Mr. Chair. Look forward to the walkthrough of the offer, and I would just anticipate we probably won't delve too deeply into the conversation. I think our goal is to seek to understand the offer. Probably a little too soon for us to react with a lot of precision to it, because we'll need to understand it, synthesize it, and then we can respond more qualitatively sometime in the near future. I will take note that I am pleased to have heard from the governor and our leadership that this is the issue we want to get to resolution first. I think that's good news. And so I would anticipate that once we receive this offer, there'll be some, we'll be able to engage our leaders and the governor in a larger conversation around finding the middle ground and proceeding with compromise and getting this settled, so that the rest of the business of in front of the legislature can proceed.
Great, thank you, Mr. Chair, and that is a great comment. I was also pleased to hear that from a priority standpoint that the our leadership has come to that maybe realization that many of us in this room have been touting for a couple of years, that transportation does need to be prioritized. So you're right, I was very happy to hear that as well. So what we'll do, I'll walk through basically the offer line by line, and then we'll if we could hold our questions to the end, and then we'll get all the clarifying questions out, if that's okay with the representatives and senators. So as we start, the first part of this is really a affirmation of where our funding comes from. I've said this from the start too, that when we agreed on the size and scope of this, that was one of the things that happened fairly quickly in all areas, the Senate, the House, and the governor, really. So this really does look at putting approximately $600 million into roads and bridges. So our first part, and we are also serious about the dedicated funding. The first part of our plan puts the sales tax on auto parts into a dedicated fund called the Transportation Stability Fund, along with the lease tax and rental tax, as we see below. But those numbers, as you see there, $229 million in 17, and then for the biennium of 18 and 19, $487 million. And that would be dedicated statutorily to roads and bridges. So we did hear the cry for dedicated funding and certainly took that serious, and that's where that is going. The motor vehicle lease sales tax, half to the collar counties, and then half to outstate transit, so that's with the 13.6, and then the biennium 26.9 in 18-19. One of the initiatives we took last year is a small cities fund, and was highly regarded, and we had wonderful input on that. So we upped our amount. This is what we originally thought we could get into the small cities with the rental car tax. So that small cities, 5,000 or less, and comes to $53 million in the biennium, and a $25 million one-time for 17. Based on that initiative and that idea, one of the things we heard is get this down to more of a local point where they are hurting, seems to be more just due to lack of funding. So we moved the sales tax and rental cars to townships and turnbacks, and that would be in those amounts, and $37 million in 18-19 and $8 million one-time to townships in 17. And that's in hopes to take care of some of the local issues that we have with our township roads, township bridges, and also with the availability to make the turnback situation less onerous on the locals. The $25 million in 19 to the highway user trunk or the highway user trunk distribution fund, formerly the would be funding general fund funding, that's part of using the surplus, and then we would start $125 million a year in fiscal year 2020 so that we could make sure that we are handling things in a, from a budget standpoint in the tails, along with a $46 million one-time quarters of Commerce Trunk Highway cash for right-of-way and design. One of the things we heard loud and clear also is that the ability to use those dollars for planning and delivery for the Quarter of Commerce program was that we were not able to use those funds, so that's a concession there to say we do want that to be able to be used for that so that we can get those projects going. The additional Fed funds, that's simply making appropriations of federal money and the FAST Act, so we just need to appropriate that. The trunk highway fund, the unreserved amount, we're suggesting that the department can use up to 90% of those, or should use up to 90% of those. So that's where we get the $34 million in 17 and 93 in the biennium. The passenger rail office, the reduction there is due to more. We do know that they also get federal money, approximately $1.3 million in a biennium, and so we felt that would be a possible general fund reduction to offset some of the dollars that we are using off of the general fund above. We would like to see more of the administrative duties, MnDOT, not come out of the trunk highway fund. We simply want trunk highway funds to be used for trunk highways. So that's what we're asking the MnDOT and DPS to absorb. Finally, on our funding side, the bonding. No, did I say absorb? Right. I just wrong use of terms there. Shift there. The trunk highway bonding, $200 million 17, $400 million 18, 19, and then out approximately $200 million a year would come to 1.3. There's a couple of tails that are not exactly $200 million, but that would be $1.3 billion over the over that time period, and then general obligation bonding roughly $1 billion over 9 years, and that is the specifics of the actual dollars and where those are coming from. And then we want to move to the reform side, which we touched on last week at our last conference committee meeting. But we wanted to make sure that was part of our offer today. The Office of Legislative Auditors report recommendations for MnDOT project selections. That is something that many people have come to us and asked us to review. And the auditors report did suggest that the selection process needs to be improved, so we want to make sure that we do have a better process. We want transparent scoring of the projects and to make sure that everyone bidding on those projects understands the criteria and would lead to hopefully a more transparent and efficient project selection process. Specifically, I think most everybody has asked the department for a 15% efficiency on new spending, and the department actually, I believe, is doing a decent job here and has not balked at this and suggested that they can do this. So that's just staying with what most of us have in there. Want to reduce the program planning delivery and the trunk highway fund usage. That's kind of above. We want trunk highway dollars spent on trunk highways. So. That is along with that. The other piece to make sure that we are allowing the quarters of commerce to be able to use part of the dollars for preliminary planning. That was one of the issues that we've given them the dollars, but have not made the planning process easy in that regard. The quarters of commerce project would fit just as well in the selection process. We want to make sure those fit with the with that transparent scoring and the same recommendations from MnDOT would apply to the Corridor of Commerce project selection. We had very good discussion on our public-private partnership. We are still working on language on that. We would like that to continue. We are absolutely in favor of moving that forward as well. The general fund replacement non-trunk highway fund activities. That's our list. Some of the things that we're using for trunk highway from the trunk highway or general fund from non-trunk highway fund activities are aviation support services, Greater Minnesota Transit, freight office, electronic communications, agency management, buildings. These are all things that we believe we can, we do not want to use out of the trunk highway funds, and we would rather see them out of the general fund to make the trunk highway funds more extremely clear that if we're dedicating these funds to trunk highways, that's where we would like them to be used. You can see that message over and over again here. I think that's, if we're really talking about dedicated funding, then that's what we want to make sure that is abided by. Road capacity expansion, just exactly what it says, emphasizing the expansion of roads, especially in the metro area, as opposed to simple maintenance on them or activities that don't actually get us more capacity. Electric vehicle surcharge, that's been, we don't have an exact amount there, but it's, that could be a number of things, maybe a registration surcharge or something. The point being that if they're not paying on part of the gas tax that's already initiated, they're not funding the roads and bridges, and they're using them just as much. So we've talked about electrical vehicle surcharge. Met council reform, won't have to belabor this a whole lot because this is what we talked about quite a bit last week. We would like to see staggered terms in the Met Council, local elected officials on the council. We talked about a nominating committee, which I think is a very strong item that would help significantly to get people to the governor's office if it is still an appointed position, to get them qualified candidates that a nominating committee has selected. The study commission was represented as Albright's idea of suggestion of a panel to review their policy and process to help them, from the representation standpoint and the decision making and the dollars that are appropriated to them through their budget, that we make sure that the policies and process are appropriate. And legislative input on their long-term plan. We've asked for either legislative approval of the Met Council's long-term plan or maybe a significant comment period where we would have the opportunity to weigh in. The transit finance, we would like to see a legislative approval for their major transit ways. If that's a figure established to certain levels, we don't have that specifically yet. We do not want to see certificates of participation again. So that's one of the items we want to have as part of the reform. We're asking for no more state share for the light rail capital or operations. That's one of the shifts, I think, that would be a good shift in regards to moving those dollars to the CTIB or Met Council, where if they were needed to make sure that they had the dollars to operate as well, not just building, that I think the decision-making process becomes significantly different, so that if we understand, if we build this, that we also have to operate it for the next 20 years, I think that would be a much better way of focusing that decision making. The fare box recovery, we would like to see that continue to increase. We saw in our committee, we saw that the rates are increasing, but we would like to see that go to 20% across all lines. The only exception there would maybe be Metro Mobility, because that's kind of a different beast, and that's a mandate from the federal government. So we understand from a Met Council perspective that is different. So finally, then some of the miscellaneous things we also talked about, the railroads and the moves that we have made and agreements that are getting close to being done, Mr. Chair, I think we will be able to look at language very shortly, but very excited about the contribution level that the railroads have come up to and also the safety measures. And this is something they've been working with the first responders. The governor's office has made this a priority as well, so that has been heard loud and clear. The rail grade crossings, the safety measures there were all taken into consideration, and that's why we are at this point today with close to agreement on those funding levels and also the safety measures. So we're very excited about that. And we're also looking at the Rochester and St. Cloud airports for funding. So the total general fund dollars are listed out there in 2017, $300 million, 2018, $271, and 2019, $383. And our total package, $6.14 billion. And do they have a copy of this? Do they have a copy of this?
Yeah.
Okay. And the second part of our bonding is detailed there. As you can see, $1.3 billion covers $800 million for corridors of commerce. And that's $125 million per year for 6 years, and $62 million the seventh year. $32 million for the TED initiative, Transportation Economic Development, and then $455 for state road construction. The general obligation bonding we've committed to in this bill is $1 billion, $250 in 2017. Right, in the bonding bill. Right, we've committed them to the bond. How about that? And $100 million thereafter. In just summary, I would say that this offer represents our core road and bridge plan from 2015. You'll see some consistency. We've stayed consistent in our prioritization of transportation, and we're committed to the dedicated funding. Dedicated funding is something that everyone has said is very important to them. So that's where our Transportation Stability Fund is. A very important piece to the legislation. Adding the funds to the counties and townships, the small cities, we think is also a very strong move, and says that we have heard the locals that they need help, and we're answering that. We are proposing again the trunk highway dollars be used for trunk highway spending and trunk highways themselves. We're asking MnDOT for the reforms. To be more efficient, to continue on that efficiency initiative that they have already tried. But we want to be also forward-thinking. That's where the public-private partnerships have come into play. And then before we can even talk about any type of new revenue on transit, we were adamant about the reforms there with the Met Council. And with that, that's our bottom line is we are committed to our $6 billion. You see that here in our plan, and I think we are, as Mr. Chair, you said in the beginning that I would say that we are very close to, we have an understanding of what those, maybe those lines in the sand are and where we're at there. So I see this as answering the proposal that was, or the offer that was set forth to us. I think it's clear that and stated many, many times that we are not going to take the offer of a gas tax into our offer at all. We don't believe in the situation that we're in that we need to, and I think these figures spell that out pretty succinctly, that we have this opportunity to do something for transportation for a long-term comprehensive plan, and we're very excited about that. So with that, I'll start with any questions or comment, your initial comments, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick initial question. Is the is this the general fund target that has been communicated to you by your leadership? That I'm looking at the back sheet, $300 million for this biennium, and then by your calculation, 654 in the coming in the tails target, as well as you know what we're going to see in the bonding bill that comes forward from Representative Torkelson. I'll just note also that there's an additional $250 million per biennium that's been tagged for the future biennium to come into the highway user fund. There's some uncalculated amounts that that would require some paying for things that are currently paid for by trunk highway fund activities. But have you been? Is this what the House is ready and willing to spend on in general fund? Is that what they're bringing to the table? The reason I ask, of course, is because there's these other conversations around how much we're going to do for tax reductions, what we're going to do in terms of cash for other kinds of projects in the bonding bill. The supplemental, of course, is being negotiated. There's a great deal of general fund dollars over in the supplemental bill. Is this what the House is communicating to the Senate? They're bringing in general fund for this biennium as well as for the next in the tails target as well.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can say at this point in time, this is not we didn't make an official target. But what I can also tell you is I think both you and I being in the same position is this is what makes our plan work. This is the numbers that we need to deliver this transportation package. So as you may have to do sometimes, we go to leadership and explain to them that this is a fantastic plan. This is what we want to do. These are the numbers we need. So to the point that I can say this was an official target for me, no. Okay. But I am I will be fighting for this as well as I would assume you will be.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if I'm ready to fight for this, but
you didn't fall for that.
I'm ready to fight for transportation and also Representative Kelly. The reason I ask him, we're going to hand out a sheet that comes from some analysis by our partisan. Research, but I think it's. I guess it's been validated by nonpartisan research. It has DFL at the top of it, but it just kind of projects out to the future. Just for your information, I won't get into it in too much detail. But yeah, go ahead and pass it out. It just has the economic outlet for Minnesota's general fund revenue, and it shows assuming a GDP growth of 2.8%. What we might project in the form of new revenue for the coming biennium. And it comes in at about $500 million over current forecasted spending. When we're talking about 600 and some, clearly we're going to have to take from other areas of the general fund if we're going to get to the 654, not counting the 250 in the future biennium. I'll just let that rest. I don't think there's enough general fund just to even fulfill the ambition of this proposal, much less what other folks might want to do in the way of early childhood investments, higher ed, new higher ed investments, mental health investments, long-term care, local government aid, that sort of thing. But I will say, I of course appreciate the proportion. We're still kind of in the same ballpark in terms of what we're talking about in terms of dollars that we need to come to the road and bridge program. Disappointed, of course, that there's nothing for transit in the metro area. It doesn't feel like we could pass a plan without major new investments for transit, particularly if we're going to have 750 to 800,000 people come to the metropolitan area. We can't build enough roads to accommodate all of that. And I do want to at some point get into the conversation about how we count the dollars as new dollars from the additional federal funds as well as the unreserved funds that occur as a part of the natural growth of the Trunk Highway Fund. Those are dollars that are all already kind of projected and kind of built into the base, as it were. So to count them as brand new dollars feels to me a little bit like we're counting some dollars twice. And then two final comments in terms of reaction. It's hard to know how we can use the term dedicated when we're only talking about statutory dedications of general fund appropriations. We're not talking about permanent constitutional dedication because we, of course, can't bind a future legislature to anything. And we've been down this path before where legislatures in the past have and I meant to provide it today, but at some point in the near future I'll provide the history of our attempts to provide general fund dollars statutorily to transportation purposes, only to have them reversed even before, in some instances, we've completed the present biennium. So we know that past legislatures have tried that, and when there's pressure and competition for those dollars from other areas of the budget, transportation always comes up a little bit short in terms of the political will to keep those dollars in place. And then, on general obligation bonding, again, we're making offers in another division's bill. And again, we can't, there's no way we can bind a future legislature to, a commitment of $100 million per year. I've advocated that we do that level of commitment in our bonding bill to local roads and bridges for a long time. Sometimes we get it and sometimes we don't. It just kind of depends on if we've got the random convention center or to build around the state. But I want to end on a positive note because I appreciate our working relationship and I appreciate the sincerity and the earnestness with which this offer was prepared. I believe this gives us a lot of good stuff with which to start a good negotiation, so I appreciate that.
Thank you. Do we have questions?
Just kind of procedurally.
Senator Jensen.
So some of the items on here, I'm having some difficulty understanding exactly what the impact is, even if it's not to the general fund or the trunk highway fund. As we look at this and go through this, where do we just contact you so that we get, for instance, the $500,000 general fund reduction? Is it just we're not going to expend that much? I just need to get a better understanding than who fills that hole, that kind of thing. And there are several in here that I see that are like that.
Sure. Any questions, Senator Jensen, feel free to call our office and staff and we'll walk through. Yeah. And I guess we're just in response a little bit to your comments, Mr. Chair, I'd just like to remind everyone that as we went through this and we heard about the dedicated funding, again, this is, if we look at our transportation budget, it's 1.5% of a $42 billion budget. I would say I do not agree that that our $42 billion budget is simply a education budget or a healthcare budget, although that is extremely important. I think we have to understand that 1.5% into transportation is not a big ask, and we should feel confident as a transportation committee to expect that from our government, because that is a core function that we need to provide. And in regards to the constitutionality of dedicated funding, also like to remind everyone that in our committee this year we heard a bill that zeroed out the gas tax. If we zero out the gas tax, which any legislature could do and vote for, guess what that does to our constitutionally dedicated funds? They're gone. So from a standpoint of dedicated funds, it is not as dedicated and constitutionally protected as you think. They could be done. They could be gone. So what we have suggested is to statutorily put dollars into a transportation stability fund, which, any legislature could change afterwards, just as they could hear a bill that zeroed out the gas tax. So we are trying to make the attempt and to do this on a dedicated basis. We are sincere in that approach, and that's why we created that transportation stability fund. So
can I ask one more?
Yes, absolutely.
So, Mr. Chair, as I went through my proposal, I indicated where we had shown some movement off our original position to show some good faith in coming towards and responding to some of the critiques and concerns on the part of the House. Can you help us understand where you've moved off of? It feels a lot like a recitation of what you already brought to the table. I don't see a lot of change, and I feel like we changed a lot and moved quite a bit in your direction. Can you help us understand where there might be some movement on your part towards us?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that is a very fair question. And where we were looking at from the standpoint of a new revenue in regards to transit, when you look at the reform, we wanted to make sure we are clear that is that is part of the offer that we are looking at. In regards to where we felt the first offer was in coming down from 16 cents at a minimum to a to stay on a 12 cent gas tax, which we have stated over and over that we would not be interested in at all. Did not, quite frankly, feel that that was an offer that I think that was an initial offer. I absolutely appreciate that, but in regards to moving off the idea of something different than a gas tax, that's what we were looking for. So for us to respond in suggesting that we would do something in transit did not feel appropriate at this time to make sure that the way I would say that to show that we are moving forward is that as we look at the possible reforms on that side, that I would presume that people would think as the next, if we address these reforms, that the next conversation would be funding.
Thank you. So just to be clear, my perception is, my perception of your answer, to restate it, is even though our offer moved, in my opinion, quite a bit, it didn't move enough for you, so you kind of kept your current proposal in place in response. And added a number of the policy elements.
Any other questions for members or comments? Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ooh, what's missing? Can you still hear me? Yes.
Yes.
I think that, Mr. Chairman, I think that Senator Neville moved across the additional federal funds and the unreserved spend rather quickly, because I think those have already been considered in the money categories that MnDOT is intending on spending, including the new federal funds. I think they've already put that into their calculation, and we're not really generating any new monies in either one of those categories as far as I can see. They just happen to be there, and they already were going to be spent. So I don't know how you can, I don't know how we added this up, if they would be included or not included, but anyway. And the I've got a list here of the funding of MnDOT administrative activities. If you take that $86 million and use that, I guess that's what that's saying. We could zero out the state highway funds, and that would about match that. I don't know if that's what you're pointing at or what it would be, but it seems in that the list of things that are MnDOT's coming out of their trunk highway funds or HUD funds. Have you pointed at anything particular that you wanted to lop off? I don't know. Now, is the geo bonding for local roads and bridges, that's the general fund, is that the general fund bonding bill that no one has seen yet? That $250 million and $200 million geo bonding for local roads and bridges, that's usually where money's for that category lands, but not nearly in the amounts that are there. And is that what we're looking at there, that whoever's carrying the general obligation binding bill in their back pocket, is that listed in there as what they you're expecting from them? Is that how that works, Mr. Chairman, or what?
Representative Earhart, what we are proposing as part of our plan to complete our plan and our commitment is the $200 million in trunk highway bonding and $250 million in geo bonding. That is correct. And in response to your first question in regards to the federal dollars or dollars that the department are already planning on, what our intention of showing this budget is to show our commitment to the total amount of planning dollars that will go into MnDOT's budget over that 10-year time period. So those are included. That is part of the budget. That's why they're there. But in regards to the bonding, that is our proposal for it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if you didn't show it here, and they don't show it in their budget, where would it be shown? Because you're saying that, I'm saying they're already showing that in their budgeting process, I believe, from what I heard from them, and now we're putting it again here as new money. So we're counting it twice.
We are not showing it as new money. We're showing it as total funding for the transportation bill for the next 10 years.
Well, Mr. Chairman, how about this, the GO bonding for, bonding for local roads and bridges? You're counting on the big bonding bill anywhere from 600 to 1.5 or whatever. Is that where that money is coming from, the 250 million in 17 and 200 million in 18-19?
I'm sorry, Representative Earhart.
I'm looking at the last item, Mr. Yeah. Chairman, under the $6 billion for roads and business. GO bonding for local roads and business, $250 million in 17 and $200 million in 18-19.
Yes.
That's coming out of the bonding bill that we're waiting to see.
Correct.
Well, how can you promise that in 18-19, which is a different year? At best, we can do something in this year.
Well, Representative Earhart, this is consistent with what all of our plans have are a part of when we're committing to long-term funding. That's the same as the governor would have proposed. This is what we're proposing. You are absolutely correct. We cannot bind that, but that is part of what the plan is going forward.
And I have a question. I don't know the answer to this one, Mr. Chairman. Is bonding permitted for corridors of commerce preliminary planning? Can we bond for planning purposes? And tell me the answer to that.
Mr. Lee?
Mr. Chair and Representative Earhart, if you're looking at the bullet...
And the MnDOT reforms, the fourth one.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, what I would interpret this bullet is proposing is that one of the allowable uses for trunk highway bond proceeds funds would be right-of-way acquisition, preliminary design, and engineering.
So the answer to my question is you can't use it for planning purposes, Mr. Chairman. Is that right? Right-of-way acquisition is not planning, I don't think.
Mr. Chair and Representative Earhart, so the trunk highway bonds can be used for preliminary design, engineering, and I believe MnDOT has a policy that they do not currently use trunk highway bond proceeds for right-of-way acquisition. But this would just, I guess, put in language that that MnDOT should use trunk highway bond proceeds for preliminary design activities.
Thank you.
Any other questions from members? Yes, Senator Kent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question probably for council about assumptions that have gone into. I'm looking at the in the first bullet under the first section for roads and bridges for the auto part sales tax. The offer says that it would be $229.6 million in 17, and I know when we tried to price that, we came out at 150, which I believe was a partial year. So I'm just trying to understand the $80 million discrepancy.
Mr. Lee?
Mr. Chair and Senator Kent, the difference between the 150 approximate estimate came from a fiscal note last year was that was in an original version of a bill that didn't include some specific items that that are auto part related, like it didn't include tires or some other specific items. And so if you include all of those items, revenue's estimate was that it was around $230 million a year in 17.
Senator Kent.
Mr. Chair and Ms. Boyd, the reason I'm asking this is because when we look at the 18 and 19 numbers, which I would assume had the same assumptions of what's included, we also get the $487 million. The difference between the $229 in this offer and the $150 that we had been looking at, I was thinking it was had more to do with a partial year scenario. Can we clarify that? Because the tires numbers would seem to be in our 18-19 assumptions.
Mr. Chair and Senator Kent, Senator Kent, I believe there was an issue with the fiscal note last year. As the language is moving through the process, tires and other items were added to it, but for simplicity's sake in 17, as these amounts were being estimated, it remained at 150, I believe, in the House offer. When we did these estimates several weeks ago, sort of looking at the proposed revenues, that was just for discussion purposes, the 150 was raised to what it would be with all those items included. So I just think there was an amalgamation of different scenarios being looked at, and that the numbers kind of got confused that way.
And so, Mr. Chair, if I can just, so then that, given those assumptions, then the $229.6 million is achievable? Is it a deliverable mathematically? That's what I'm asking, I think.
Mr. Chair and Senator Kent, I believe that's the current estimate, including all the pieces that are named in the bill, or that were named in the estimate, if I'm understanding your question correctly.
We can.
I would not question these numbers based on the revenue estimates that I've seen.
Thank you.
If that's what you're looking for.
And Mr. Chair, one further point of clarification. The original House File 4 position had $150 million in fiscal 16, and since we're already pretty much done with fiscal 16, I believe that number was a bit of a placeholder in giving revenue some time to figure out how to estimate this. But from using revenue note in 17, it was just kind of decided that this is what their estimate was, and that's what we would use. So.
Thank you.
All right. Seeing no further questions, Senator Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the chance to discuss this issue some more and hear your counteroffer today. And, you know, I speak personally. I'm a new face of the legislature, but I look around the table. I see a lot of new faces here. And I think it may be a good time for us to add a little historical perspective to the decision that we're undertaking here. And, you know, there's an old adage, you know, if we don't understand the mistakes of history, we're bound to repeat them. And I just hearken back to the late administration of, the late years of the Ventura administration, when Minnesota had a budget surplus. We had some need. That legislature moved forward with considerable tax cuts, education, funding reform. And the economy was strong at the time, but there were some warning signs on the horizon. And, you know, it's no secret what happened next, that the decisions of that legislature led to recurring state budget deficits over the decade that followed. In this Senate, we helped balance the budget for the first time in over a decade, honestly and sustainably. And I think it would be beyond foolish if we were to make that same mistake here moving forward, making decisions that might feel good in the short term but aren't responsible to the long-term budget stability of Minnesota. And so I just think that we should take some caution and really consider what is being on the table, especially in light of, you know, the numbers that the state economist has given us and maybe some warning signs that are on the horizon for future revenues. And so I want to get that out there. I think it's really important for us to look at this decision in the historical context that it should be placed in. What does this sort of spending and commitment over the years ahead mean to Minnesota's budget stability and our future general fund dollars that are available? The way I look at this, I'm no expert, but I think it's almost a certainty that we'd be putting ourselves back into a situation where future legislature would be having a deficit to deal with. And then again, you have a very difficult position where these dollars are not constitutionally dedicated, and again, we're pitting transportation against education and healthcare and many other priorities that over time and in history in Minnesota have taken precedence over transportation. So again, I really think it's important for us to reflect on that and not make the same mistakes of a previous legislators and make sure that we're looking to long-term for our budget stability. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Schmidt. And I guess just as a comment on that, you know, in 2011 we were looking at a $34 billion budget, and today we have a $43 billion budget. I guess what I would say to the people of Minnesota is that it appears that we have grown our budget at an extreme rate. So that is why prioritizing is imperative. So if we all agree that transportation is the priority of the day, I believe that's where we should focus our efforts, and that's where I will absolutely continue to do so. Senator Dibb.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate that comment. I always feel like I need to respond to it. I often don't, and I feel like I do when when folks throw those raw numbers out, what they fail, the context they fail to provide, is that there's inflationary factors we have to absolutely consider. So there's been just normal inflation in the price of goods and services. The number of kids we have going to our schools has increased, and we of course need to pay for children's education and senior citizens and the number of senior citizens we have, and frankly we're going to have to grapple with that on an accelerated basis in the coming years. I think the state demographer and the state economist has told us that the number of seniors that we're going to have in the coming 10, 15 plus years, if we continue to pay for long-term care and senior health care services the way we do today, that will consume our entire general fund budget. So we quickly need to become much, much more innovative in how we provide those essential services to take care of our mothers and fathers, and frankly ourselves, that's going to be us. And additionally, we know that in the past, since I've been at the legislature, and shortly before the state legislature, we took over a great deal of the per pupil formula. We eroded quite a bit of that, but we've tried to come back to it. So that is also has some attribution, delivering, of course, a fairly tremendous amount of property tax savings at the local level. We took over a great deal of the corrections responsibilities, again, an effort that was borne by local property tax services. And frankly, our failure to do well with dedicated, ongoing, reliable, truly dedicated sources for transportation also puts a tremendous amount of pressure on our local property taxes. And then if we really want to take a true measure of how much we're spending, we need to look at a couple of external measures and indexes. One, of course, is what's happening with our economy relative to the investments that we make. Minnesota's doing pretty well. And how much are we spending on a per capita basis, the price of government? Again, Minnesota is doing pretty well in relative to the past amounts that we spent on a per person basis. Our price of government has held steady and even gone down in some years. So it's not like we've got some sort of runaway budget that's eroding our ability to prosper. If we look at the number of public employees on a per capita basis, Minnesota is right in the middle of the pack. So we really do need to understand our general fund effort in the context of some of these other perspectives.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I also just really want to emphasize that when we're talking about general fund and the difference, and somehow that we haven't placed transportation as a high priority, it's in our Constitution. That's a very high priority, and it's the one that tells us how we're going to collect money to put towards it and tell people what it is going to be and then how we're going to distribute it. That's a huge priority. But what we're talking about this time is that because it hasn't kept up, we have to find a way to get it to do that. And what the proposal is to use general fund money, which, sure, that should, the money's there, we should use that, but it is a huge policy change in Minnesota. Huge policy change that we're going to do things that are presented, here and in our bill that will move and shift money from a constitutionally dedicated way, a system, to transfer it onto people that are going to have to pay more fares to do this, or they're going to have to pay more tab fees or license fees because we want to use the general fund. So for me, this is bigger than just saying there's surplus money right now, because I've talked about it several times. When we're in a deficit, what happens? That's the policy change that's taking place this year and the conversation that has to happen. To say, oh, we should use general fund money, I think it needs to be taken more seriously than that, because people understand that is, or maybe they don't understand, but it is, as a legislator, a huge policy change to move to a system that is not constitutionally dedicated any longer, that can be changed by a legislator or a governor at any point going forward. And it's a big responsibility for this committee to take into consideration that long-term policy change that we're talking about.
Thank you.
Senator. Mr. Chair, members, I didn't want to react. I wanted to be able to digest these numbers. There's a lot on this offer, and I appreciate the time and effort that your committee the House side has put something on paper. But I do have to react. I couldn't help but saying that the offer, although looks to ways to be sustainable long-term over 10 years, which is the goal of hopefully our package at the end of session, it fails to be comprehensive. It fails to be comprehensive because it leaves transit behind. Just recently, you know, I know we have some of the transit finance pieces in the bottom talking about legislative approval for major transit ways, but then the following bullet, two bullets down, we want to approve it, but we don't want to pay our share as a state to provide the capital and investment to operate and to construct these projects. And I think this offer leaves a lot of money on the table. Southwest Light Rail is a project that's imminent, and we are leaving $895 million on the table. Certainly, we are quickly to add to the offer federal funding from the FAST Act, but we fail to subtract the money we're leaving behind that we all pay for already, that we transfer and shift over to the federal government because we all pay federal taxes. So this is an opportunity that Minnesotans have and our state has to continue to build on the state system. So the proposals on the policy side of transit is basically saying transit is not really part of the state system. We want to approve it, but we don't want to pay for it. And I think it fails to really lead and having a stronger partnership as a state with our communities that are really putting all the effort to plan, engineer, and oftentimes pay for their share at the county level for these projects. Transit is missing from this offer, frankly, and leaving $895 million. And to add to that, the communities that I represent, some of the chambers of commerce are backing these projects up. A lot of them support members of your caucus. So when you mentioned initially, Mr. Chair, that you heard loud and clear, look at the paper this last week. They're screaming at us. They're telling us fund Southwest Light Rail, Twin West Chamber, Eden Prairie Chamber, I know you're here, thank you. It's missing from the offer, and I think it's a huge deficit for Minnesotans, and I couldn't help but say that on the record.
Thank you, Senator Franson. Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to revert back to MBEST, which was used for transportation on and off, partly and fully, until it was dedicated, truly dedicated, because the legislature can undedicate most everything we have here, except the constitutional stuff. And they kept moving in and out of transportation funding, and finally everybody said, that's enough, we can't do that anymore. So they put it on into the Constitution, which was a real effort, and none of you were here then, so you don't remember what was going on at the time, but it was 2006, it was on the ballot, and it was passed, and it was a pretty good effort of spending of $2 or $3 million by interested parties and getting that passed on the ballot. So the items that you're suggesting from the general fund are not dedicated, we know that, even though you're all saying, well, we're dedicating it. That's for now and here this year, but that doesn't say anything about a year or two down the road. And you're not anywhere making the direction that you're going to pass a constitutional amendment on it. And one other thing, I don't know, I am not able to add up your figures here because they're kind of going in different directions, but you know that bonding is not considered new money, that's considered debt. And we have a debt service, I don't know if we've included that in this or not. Is that included?
Yes, it is, Representative Earhart.
Okay, it's hard to tell from this, Mr. Chairman. There's one other thing that was mentioned that I thought about last time we talked about when we did this bill back in 7 and 8, and back then it was not enough and it's failed. And it was based on gas tax and the other constitutionally dedicated things. And it was, as a matter of fact, about a third of what the estimations are of what we needed at that time. But since then, since 2005, as a matter of fact, almost 400 million more people are living in Minnesota. and those people are buying cars and they're on the roads, wearing the roads out. And so it's obvious that you have to move forward and increase funding. And one of those things that we would like to do is make it user fees, which are the ones that are in the Constitution and we should be applying today. I don't know how you can discount the fact that this city is continuing to grow and that there are more people that want to use the roads and the bridges and transit. Now we have the new wave of the things that we want to do with transit. The more people that ride transit, the more they're going to be pressured on for building transit lines. Even my area is thinking about transit lines. If they get their hands on the Dan Pass line, we may have a locomotive driving down that thing before long. I doubt it, though. In any event, things are going, we're going on with the world, and we're still doing things that don't seem to be really tuned to the modern times, which some might say is some general fund money. You know that I promoted that in a bill and so forth, but not to do your whole plan on a general fund basis, which is essentially what this is doing. So I just say that this for some of us at least would not be the do-all of what we need here.
Thank you, Representative Earhart. Representative Petersburg, I'll give you the last question. Our friends in the Senate do need to get to a meeting at 12:30. So,
thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'll just say a few comments. One, in regards to leaving it on the bottom line, I don't know at the end of the day whether or not that will, but I could tell you from experience when I was farming, I was given some free seed corn to plant because they said this is great stuff, and I thought, well, why would I leave that on the bottom line? Why not plant it? It's free seed. At the end of the year, that was the most expensive corn that I ever planted because it didn't even produce as well as some of the others. And so we always have to take a look at whether or not something that is given to us free, whether or not in the long run, when we take into consideration ongoing expenses and anticipated consequences, whether or not that's right. And I'm not here to debate that. I'm just giving a different perspective on whether or not just because it's free and just because we can, does that mean that we should? And I think those are the things that we philosophically have to deal with. And I think to Senator Jensen's concern that this is a philosophical policy change is exactly right, and it's something that we absolutely need to do. If you take a look at the past few decades, the times we have made this a priority and then tried to fix it so that it would be consecutive and consistent for the future, it's never occurred. We've had to come back to this issue every 7 to 8 to 10 years and then recreate that. But the thing that I think disappoints me the most is the rhetoric around the table that I'm hearing, and this is just how I perceive it, is that if we don't fix this with something that is dedicated and is something that we can commit to for the future, then it's not going to happen. Where did we lose the message that transportation needs to stay our priority over the years? If we don't believe that we can maintain it as a priority next year or the year after, then we aren't doing our due diligence. This has to be, transportation and infrastructure has to be a priority, and we need to do a lot more negotiations between now and the end of this session. And so this is the first offer, and I think it's a valid one, and I think we will continue working with that. And I appreciate, Mr. Chair, this opportunity.
Thank you, Representative. With that, Mr. Chair.
Thanks. A couple of things. I just wanted to bookmark some comments that I forgot. One that I forgot last time, and then one I forgot in the reaction to the proposal. One is I appreciate not that I support, but I appreciate that the freight rail piece is in here. We left it off our last sheet in error. It's my own fault. I wrote it down, but then I didn't type it up. I was doing a lot of my own typing, and it just kind of slipped. So I do want, you know, in our future conversations, I didn't intentionally leave freight rail matters off, so that was just a mistake. So appreciate that you've introduced that into this conversation, and so that will be a a point of discussion and negotiation. And finally, I'll also just make note, Representative Howe, you and I need to do a little work together because there's nothing here for bike ped, much less safe routes to school, and I think we have a lot of common interest in that. And so I'm disappointed there's no bike ped in here, but hopefully we can include that in a future package, both for the metro statewide as well as greater Minnesota.
Fantastic. With that, thank you, Senate members, thank you, representatives, and thank you to our people in the audience today. And with that, this meeting is adjourned.